Up to Simon Samach Aleph Halacha Dalid Hanichnas Lahakiz Dan. Ancient times, people would go to let blood. Some people give blood, but when they to draw blood, it was a medical procedure. Koydem Shiach Al before you eat. O Yishte Koydem Shiach Lo Yishto Yase is a davar lerefuah Yispalel Koydem Tfilukatzoviyam before. Before you make his dam, or before you eat, or you drink, or do anything for the purpose of refuah, so they would, people would, I guess you take a certain type of medicine, you drink something, eat something, or you do a certain exercise or procedure. Yispalel koydem tefil, yispalel koydem tefil katzor v'yomer yirotzon b'lefanoch Hashem Elokai v'elokei avosai sheyihye li'esek zel lerefuah ki roifei chinam ata. You are a roife that heals for chinam. Chinam here means undeserved. Free. It doesn't mean free for money. Okay? That's not Obamacare. This is not God care. This is chinam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Although we are guilty, we are undeserving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachem upon us, and he frees us for chinam. Okay, further. Let's say something which you enjoy. It's something which I benefit. We've discussed this before. So the order is first say the tefillah and then make the bracha. Remember we discussed the shechianu. Do you make a shechianu if you have a new fruit? Do you make a shechianu before the bracha or after the bracha? This is a machlekes apayskim. It's not clear the different opinions, but when it comes to making a tefillah, saying this tefillah before a person does something l'shem refuah, you should make the tefillah first and then you should recite the bracha. Shniskar la'el shelo lahafsik v'in habracha li'achil l'shnap yihafsik between the bracha and the achila. L'yach ha'shehekiz dam v'varich v'yamir after ha'koz ha'stam baruch ha'to Hashem l'chidim melcholam roifei cholim. It says, see, you make a bracha v'shem malchus. And this, we don't do this with manazef. Number one, we don't, it's not the derech today, we're not naked dam. And the only time we give blood is, we give blood donation, to donate blood, blood bank. So that's not being done l'shem refuah, that's being done l'shem chesed, you're not doing l'shem refuah, so it's certainly you're not going to make this bracha. Okay, someone told me, a doctor told me that there are situations where they do take blood from people. Okay, anyone familiar with this?
Yes.
They do l'shem refuah. There's a medical procedure where they come and they do take blood. There are situations. Okay, but this is halachah l'maaseh. So we don't make this bracha because we don't do this l'shem. We don't do this. Hamisateish, a person sneezes. Oimelo omulachavero, his friend should spend. Asusa means healthy. You should be blessed with health. You should live. Vhu oimeloi, and you respond what?
What's the source?
Asusa is an, I think, an Aramaic word, if I'm not mistaken. Aramaic, which means health. It means good health, a bracha for good health. Asusa, v'yoymelo, and he says back, Baruch Tiyah, may you be blessed.
When it, Spanish, saluda.
Salud,
about Trisante, it's.
And what do you say in English? Bless you. In English, we don't do that. In English, we say bless you.
No, but that's later. But all other languages have it to your health.
To your health. You may be healthy. But then what are you supposed to say back? You're supposed to be, whenever a person gives you a bracha, you are supposed to give them back a bracha. That's the rule. You're supposed to, baruch tiyah, exactly. Whenever you, that's the rule of thumb is you're supposed to give back even a bigger bracha. There's a famous story with Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Story is, the minig is also, he's supposed to give back a bigger bracha. A person wishes to have a good day, so he's supposed to have a good week. If he wishes you a good week, wish him a good year. Good year, that's the minig, that's the custom. You're always supposed to give back, be gracious, to give back more than what someone gives you. So the mice of Shlomo Zalman Arbach, a beautiful story was someone it was Mitzoy Shabbos, right before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, let's say, for argument's sake, was that week on a Tuesday night. If you can fall on a Tuesday, I don't know all the rules. Our calendar, no, cannot on a Tuesday. You see, right away, on the spot. Wednesday, okay? Wednesday night? So let's assume that it was Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah was Wednesday night. It was the Mitzoy Shabbos before. And a gentleman wished to have Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zechatzad Levracha, a good vach, which means a good week. Right. Then you have a good week as the derech, as the minik. So what is the minik when a person wishes you a good vach? You respond, a good yar, a good yar, a good yar. So he went home, and then he realized that he gave a lesser bracha, since it's Mitzvah Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah is on Wednesday, so there are only 4 days left, or 3 days left in the year, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so the bracha that Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach gave, responded to this individual, is less than the bracha that he received. He received the bracha for a good week, a good vach, and his response was a good yar, but there's only 3 days left to the year, so he exerted himself very much to go back and find the person to wish him, I don't know what he wished him. To wish him the bracha that your response should be greater. But there is something too. You should say Baruch Tihyeh. The Achakach Oimer, and then the person who sneezed, says Lishu Oscha Kivisi Hashem. I yearn for your salvation. You could say this. Say this 3 times a day. Every Shemoneh Esrei. There's a tradition that a person should be mechaven very much when he says Lishu Oscha Kivisi Hashem in the Shemoneh Esrei. The person really is mechaven Lishu Oscha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Lishu Oscha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Oh, so that goes back. So what's the makar? The makar goes back to the medrash. It's a medrash. We don't really know how these things work. That until the time of Yaakov Avinu, if a person would sneeze, that was a sign of death. The Neshama will leave. Why? Because that's how Neshama came in. Vayipach ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, man, life came into existence through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, breathing into a man's nostrils. And when a person would die, there was no such thing as illness. A person would just expire suddenly. He would sneeze. The same way the Neshama comes in, the Neshama abruptly leaves. When a person sneezes, it involves a sensation in the nose, and that was so. Then Yaakov was misfollowed. This is not a very good thing that a person. Was Avraham? Who was it? It was Yitzhak, Avraham, whatever it was. One of the others was misfollowed. It's not a good thing. A person shouldn't die suddenly. A person should have some time to prepare his home, his house. He should be able. Hinei avicha choila. Something new happened, something sudden. It's not proper. A person needs time to prepare his bias. He needs time to prepare to say goodbye and put his affairs in order. He was mispalo. Hashem granted his request. The person did not die suddenly. So then when a person sneezes, oh, it's a bracha, he's not going to die. But it's a little scary because had this been in ancient times, this would have meant time's up. Time is up. So in order to give the person, no, we don't want you to die. We want you to live. We don't want it to be like ancient times where a person would sneeze and die. We want you, we appreciate you, we value your existence. You're an important member of society. To your health, may you be lived, may you be well. That's why this bracha came into existence. It's interesting, it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes closing. It's an amazing thing. What does that represent? Death, or with your eyes open. You have to close your eyes when you sneeze. What is the meaning? What is the symbolic meaning? It's a very fascinating thing.
Symbolism.
Of death, closing your eyes. When Hashem gave a bracha to Yaakov, he says, "Don't worry, your son Yosef will put his hands on your eyes." Yosef, Yodonecha, son of death. So closing the eyes is a sign of death. So it goes hand in hand. Sneezing, your eyes must be closed. It means it's a moment of death, and the person is alive. Tchias Anesim. So it's a Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, we yearn for your salvation. Why do we specifically say that pasuk? Because that's the pasuk that's said from looking at Rashi in the Berachos Yaakov, Melech HaMashiach. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, when Yaakov Inu, he saw Shimshon HaGibar, Yaakov Inu thought that Shimshon HaGibar would be Melech HaMashiach, and then when he saw that Shimshon died, he realized he's not Melech HaMashiach. We're in a lot of trouble. If he's not Melech Mashiach, who is Melech Mashiach? Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, we yearn for your salvation, that we yearn for Tchias HaMeisim. When Yaakov Avinu saw death, who he thought was the Melech Mashiach, and he saw that Melech Mashiach died, oh no, we're in trouble. Melech Mashiach died. Lishu Ascha Kivisi Hashem, we yearn for your salvation, that the true Melech HaMashiach should come, there should be life. So just like we find that pasuk was said in reference to a revelation, a disappointment of death, and yearning that life should come once again, same thing when a person sneezes, that's a sign of death. So we say, we don't want you to die, you should be healthy. The person gives a bracha, Baruch Tiyah, I thank you for your blessing, and now I take this as a reminder that there is death in this world, and I have to yearn that there should be Melech HaMashiach, there should be Tchias HaNesim, it should be a world of life, a world of Chaim, and not a world of death.
The sneezing says, really, he asked the question, how come when you sneeze, and people say, God bless you, you should really say God bless the person who sneezes. Should say God bless me.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than wait for somebody else. Ah,
you should say it to yourself.
You do when you sneeze, and always around.
You should say it for yourself. Okay, so this is a very beautiful halacha. It's definitely a way of kiv levavos. Even on the train, you know, it's very interesting. By even by goyim, you know, someone sneezes on the train, or someone sneezes like I remember in college, people would sneeze. So you're dealing with all different nationalities, all the Chinese, Japanese, and Russians, and Christians, and Arabs, and someone sneezes. So you say, so if you're not going to say bless you.
Cover
you know, it's an amazing thing, the cultural ramifications of this minhag. It's not just, and it definitely opens up. I always felt that it opened up a Pesach to communicate with people that otherwise you keep your distance. Here you have no choice; you have to say something nice, and that there's definitely they're receptive. Wow, you know, he gave me a blessing. It opens up.
So you're allowed to give a birthday to a guy?
What?
At least a courtesy.
It's not so simple. Lo sechanim. It's not so simple.
Right,
lo sechanim. So you'll say that it's mishumeva. Yeah, that's mishumeva goes a very long way in halacha. Some even say that, the donor, even things which are, there's an extreme opinion that giving organs, even when it might not halachically be permissible to give it to non-Jews, but Mishum Eva, Ad Kedei Kach, you have to do it. There are many examples of how far Mishum Eva goes. But in order that Hashem...
But you held that Adam is a creation of Hashem. It doesn't make a difference.
Tzelem Elokim. But there's still a pasuk in the Torah that says, Lo Sechanim. You're not allowed to give them a Matnas Chinam. Giving a bracha to a guy is certainly in the part of the category of giving them a Matnas Chinam, giving them a gift for no reason. Lo Sechanim. You have to also follow the rules. Where do you draw the balance between Mishum Eva and Mishum Lo Sechanim? But it's a very beautiful minhag, at least among Jews. Can you imagine going to the elections in Eretz Yisrael and Beis Shemesh and someone sneezes? Before I say, let me see your ID card. Yeah?
Yeah?
Wow, okay.
We don't hear you back here.
You said he has a relative named
Gesundheit. They're very wealthy people.
They're gesund. They're gesund. Okay, Allah Chavad, HaMispalel Al Masha Ovar. A person prays to change the past. Okay, he thinks he's a time traveler. Ha-mispal mashav, ha-kagoyin sh'shama kol tzavacha b'yivam. A person hears someone is screaming in the city, he says, he-yiratzan sh'lo yehei kol zeh b'soch besi. Bizarre tefillah. Halavai, I pray to you, Hashem, that this sound that I hear, this cry, should not be a member of my family.
Or if you smell smoke.
No one should not be a member of my family. Oh, Shahoisa Ishta Mubaris says one's wife is pregnant. Ula achar aboyam yom, after 40 days mi bura, after 40 days since conception, which according to Chazal, it's already determined, it's already beyond the point of return, it's already determined the gender. And mispalo, the person's mispal of yom, he wrote in Shetelet Ishti Zohar. Hare zo tfila shav, you're wasting a bracha, you're abusing the klech atzfila. You don't pray for nonsense. It's already been determined. And there's no that such a tefillah is an abuse. Kima shahoya hoya. What was. Avol b'sukh abamim, within 40 days, moil tefillah v'yachol l'hispalel. We have a tradition that it works, that it helps. If a person wants a boy or a girl for whatever reason, some people only want girls, and some only want boys, some want a mix. All depends, whatever the situation is. Yeah.
Today that you can find out what a sonogram.
Yeah. That's after 40 days.
Until you find out.
Well, I don't understand. That's how you're talking about a tefillah. I don't understand. What are you doing? What are you saying? I said, what?
You go to the sonogram to check out what
gender it is.
Okay, therefore what? What bracha? What, the bracha that the baby is born? A tov ha-meitiv?
No, you said I want it to be a boy or a girl.
You want, until 40 days, we have a tradition from Chazal, that until 40 days, it's not yet been determined.
It's a change.
It's a tefillah. You're making a prayer, Allah asit. I am mavakesh from you, Hashem, that this fetus in my wife's womb should turn into a girl. So is that a proper tefillah? Until 40 days of conception, yes, it's a proper tefillah because it's not even determined. It can go either way.
It's not you're being doing bad to somebody.
Why are you doing bad?
Because if you say shishim yom before the machriya that this kid is going to have this chasm and this kala,
You're mixing up mystical things.
You're mixing mystical things.
I don't know about these mystical things.
That
was after 40 days.
Boy.
And he was mispal. It was Maisa Nisim. Okay, that was Maisa. It was Maisa Nisim. But Al Derech Teva, I don't know. What does medical science say about this?
She went out like a boy because she was...
She had the traits of a boy, a tomboy, masculine.
Does anyone know what medical science says about this? About when the gender of a child is determined, how far in the pregnancy? I'm sure they have studies.
And I'm sure. Right in the beginning.
In the 30 days.
What? Chazal say 40 days.
When is it determined based on medicine?
Not his field.
When does it happen? Scientifically, Chazal say 40 days. And we're just curious. What does medical science say? Not that it's a contradiction, whatever, but it's an interesting idea. 40 days is what Chazal, their determination of.
Who cares with medical science?
Nowadays, it's when you're 8 years old.
What do you mean?
You're allowed to. The child, they want to introduce a law.
Yeah.
The child has a right to determine their own gender. Until they're 8 years old, they could say, if I want to be a boy or I want to be a girl.
Yeah. Which bathroom to use?
Yeah, I mean, that's.
Oh boy!
There's a difference between when the gender is determined and when it's recognizable.
Right. That's true. Absolutely.
It could be then you don't know.
Right. Chazal is saying that it's determined, 40 days is the time when it's determined. Therefore, until 40 days, the person can pray, because this prayer can be effective. It can make a difference. But after 40 days, it's not effective. It's too late. Mashoya kvar hoya. Al v'sach bar miyom, moyel tfilov yochel espal, l'dachar bar miyom, yochel espal, sheyevlad zerek hayomo, toiv la shamayim v'tov l'briyos. After 40 days, the person will espal that his wife should have a healthy child, zerek shel kayomo, and should be a good person. Good la shemayim, good for people. Zayin hanichnas lomod es giroinoi uchiyotze. A person goes into. I skip vav. Halacha zayin hanichnas lomod es giroinoi uchiyotze bo. A person goes in for an audit, takes inventory. Right, you're closing up the shop, closing up the grocery store. We're closed for inventory. So now you want to know what's doing, how much money got in the bank, and so on and so forth. So you go for an audit. So you spalal the yoimar yiratzim lofanach Hashem elokai shetishlach bracha b'chri hazeh. May there be a bracha. Hischil lamud. Once you begin to count, oimar baruch shahashaleach bracha b'chri hazeh. V'yomer beloy shemu malchus. Nothing here is shemu malchus. Modad. After you finish measuring, the achar kach is spalil harezo tfilashav. Once you already have made a calculation, it's already done, it's already been determined, you already know what it is. It's in she'ein abrocha mitzuy el bedover hanela min ha'ayin. So, or here, I have here nela right in, it's concealed from the eye. So it's a very interesting over here. A person is making me mispal. It's a very bizarre halacha that things can still change before you count your grain, it's already whatever it is. So it's fascinating. He says that's not the way tefillah works. As long as you do not know, you do not yet know. I don't know. It's a contradiction.
In brachas it says about what a tefillah shav is. It says you're not allowed to say. You're coming to your town. You see a fire in the distance, and you say, "Oh, I hope that's not my house."
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say that
because whatever it is, it is.
Whatever it is burning is burning.
So why don't we say the same thing over here? Yiratzon shetishlach bracha b'chui hazeh. But it already is. It's already done. It should be the same exact thing. May Hashem send the bracha b'chui hazeh in this silo. But whatever grain is in the silo is in the silo. There's nothing new that's going to come. Why? So it's still
but
nela.
You don't know the number, though.
You know the number, so it's still shaykh bracha. I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's not like the case of a person's wife is pregnant, because there's a fetus. So the fetus is either one or the other. It's either male or female. There's no room for deviation. When you're measuring this, it's a very large unknown. When you have a very large unknown, maybe there's more inyan for a bracha to be effective. I don't really know. Ches, mi shenase b'no bar mitzvah, kishoil l'torah b'pam rishoyna, liachar shebech b'rocha achorayna al sefer Torah b'vorech av v'oimer, after he makes the bracha on the sefer Torah, after the bracha is over, he finally makes the bracha, b'orech ato Hashem l'kidim el cholam, asher potranu, los in plural, patranu, us is the parents, the mother and the father, may oim shay shalzeh from this punishment. Shepatrani, save me. So he has a different opinion, different girsa. And notice he says over here, b'shem u'malchus, there are many customs, there are many minhagim. So the custom over here, the kitchen shalmarchus, to make b'shem u'malchus, and many people indeed do this, and some say no, that you'd make it without shem u'malchus. And here he says shepatranu, which seems to indicate the mother and the father, parents, maybe even the grandparents. Now that what's the oinish? So the first thing goes two ways. That until a child is bar mitzvah, number one, the child, Rachman al-Son, can be punished for the sins of the father. Sometimes, says Chazal, if the father has done Avera, so it can be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, does not want to punish the father, because he needs the father alive for other reasons, he transfers the punishment to the child, to a katan. How could that possibly be? What did the katan do? Katan is a tzaddik. Katan is naris bar oinshin. So we do not know Hashem's ways, but that's what it says in Chazal. And the other way around, let's say the child is guilty. The child is a sinner. Even though the child is not a bar oinshin, the child can't be punished, but the child has some degree of understanding of what's right and what's wrong. The child rebels against Hashem. He cannot be punished. So the punishment would be transferred to the father. So until bar mitzvah, a child is a very great liability. Goes both ways. You can cause the child to suffer, which is not good for the parent. The parent doesn't want the child to suffer, and the child's sins can cause the parents to suffer. So now that the child has reached bar mitzvah, he's independent. There's a cut. There's no longer a connection between the two, and therefore, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokim Melachlam Shepatrani, you exempted me. May Oin Shel Shalzeh from this punishment. Both ways.
When do you make a bracha on a negative like this?
It's not a negative. It's a positive. Because now you, both ways, now you are not going to be the source. You will not...
But you don't know that he will...
But you don't know, that's the...
There's not...
He'll do Averis.
What? But it doesn't matter. The responsibility, it's not the Averis. You're not responsible anymore.
What? Responsible.
So therefore you're being spared. You're thanking Hashem that I'm home free. I'm home free. Until now, my fate is in someone else's hands. I don't want that to be. I don't want my fate...
The mother, though.
So he's saying, according to this in the bracha, it says shepatranu b'loshen rav. It's the mother, his mother as well. We don't have that custom. We hold that the responsibility of punishment is only on the father. These are Kabbalistic things. Why? Adrav, you have to pay even more now. It's even more expensive. What? That's for the chassan.
Right.
So the chassan should make a bracha that he's been forgiven for his sins. It's an interesting idea, right? You're saying, well, if you're dealing with spiritual matters, not only you're not dealing with something that's physical, something which is spiritual. You're asking a very good question. I don't know the answer. Some indeed learn that you don't make a shema malchus. It's more of a shevach that this child has now reached the age of bar mitzvah. It's a very bizarre way of thanking Hashem that I've been zeichet to make a bar mitzvah. You make a fancy bar mitzvah,
you
spend $1,000.
The Gemara says that here, Machal Amon also become. That's one of the things in Gemara Brachos it says about Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, why his wife told him to take the job.
Yeah.
Because he would be Michael become the Nasi, Michael all his Avinas.
Forgiven.
Right.
I forgive him.
So the plus side of taking the
plus side, but all the negatives are not. Okay, so this is a very fascinating halacha. Asher potranu me'ayin shoy shalze u'mitzvah al ha'adam la'aso suda b'yom shenase b'no bar mitzvah. And the mitzvah to make a suda bo b'yom lechatchilo, the ideal time to make a bar mitzvah is bo b'yom. The hainu b'yom, it's the ideal chol hadeos, that's the ideal time to make a bar mitzvah b'yom, not on a Sunday, but b'yom shenichnas l'shnas yudale, which means 13 years in one day. Not the last day of his 12th year, but the day that he enters into his 13th year, which is the day after Yidal. That's why we discussed it. It's the whole difference of the yard site. Going back very quickly, why is it a year when the person was born in the year with only one Adar? And now it's 13 years later, and there are two Adars. So when is the bar mitzvah? Is it Adar Rishon Adar Sheni? Let's say the person died. When is the yard site? Adar Rishon Adar Sheni. So the coin Ashkenazim is a very fundamental difference. Bar mitzvah is an Adar Sheni. This year, There are no bar mitzvahs. Can you imagine? There's not even one single bar mitzvah ad aleph. No, can you imagine such a thing for caterers? They won't have a catering hall that specializes in bar mitzvahs. So when do you do construction? What? It's not shaykh. This year, the cycle only happens twice. It only happened twice.
The next time it could be.
So this cycle, so if you're a caterer, you specialize in bar mitzvah, you're whole, only for bar mitzvah hall. So when do you do construction? You only do construction Adar Rishon in a year like this year because they have no bar mitzvahs. Impossible for there to be bar mitzvah in Adar Rishon. Fascinating. Like creating holes. When do they do construction? They do it in Chodesh, in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That's when they do all the construction. There are no weddings in the 3 weeks. But this is a time when it's not possible for there to be bar mitzvah. So what's the difference? What are the yard site? Ashkenazim observe yard site in Adar. What? A bas mitzvah, ooh, very l'chor, it's the same thing. A bas mitzvah l'chor is the same thing. So let's say it's all you're saying. Oh, you're saying because the cycle is not the same cycle. Interesting. Okay, you have to work it out when it can happen. But what's the difference? What's a yard site? I don't know the cycle. I've never thought about that. How to go through the cycle of when it could happen with Adar Aleph. But let's say a person was born in Adar Aleph, a person dies, and the family is observing yard site. When do you observe the yard site? You observe the yard site in Adar. No, Ashkenazim. Not Sardim. Adar Aleph. So what's the difference? Why Ashkenazi family has observed the yard site? They're observing the yard site in Adar Rishon, but they're observing the Bar Mitzvah in Adar Beis. So the answer is, this we will learn, so we spend the whole share on this, is that Bar Mitzvah, when is a child Bar Mitzvah? Yud Gimel Shonim V'Yoyim Echad. One day. The theme of Bar Mitzvah is after you completely out of 12 years. You completely, 12 years are gone. I have no connection. It's now one day the next day. When a person's birthday is the beginning of the next cycle. Because the real end of the cycle is the last day. A person is born on Zion Adar. So when is his year over? Vav Adar. Vav Adar is the last day of the cycle. Zayin Adar, you're one day into the next cycle. When is a person chayv in mitzvos? On Zayin, not on Vav, because you have to be out. This concept translates, is magnified in a time when you have two Adars. Because if you're going to observe the Bar Mitzvah in the first Adar, to some degree you're still part of the past. We want you to break out of the past cycle and go into the new cycle. Just like in days, we go to the next day. It's Yud Gimel Shonim V'Yoyim Echad. Likewise, in months, we push you as far out as we possibly can. You were born in a year where there was one Adar. So there's a question, is when there are two Adars, is the first Adar, what's the real Adar? Is the real Adar the first Adar, or is the real Adar the second Adar? So we want to make sure that you're out of your old cycle. To make sure that you're out, we push you as far away as we possibly can into Adar Beis. The halacha follows the style, the theme of what Yud Gimel Shonim V'Yoyim Echad is. But when it comes to a yard site, you are commemorating the anniversary of a day, a calendar day. So when's the calendar day? So it can very well be the calendar day was Adar Rishon. That's why you preserve it in the first Adar. Okay, let's go further. The im hanar derish, this is a very important halacha. Im hanar ha yudarish suda mitzvah filu eina bosliyam. This is a very important halacha. The shabbos is the same thing, that if you have mega bar mitzvah and the boy is not, it's not bo bayom, you cannot get a whole bo bayom, or it's just not convenient for the family to come together on the day of the actual bar mitzvah, and you make the bar mitzvah a few days later, a week later, even a month later, you make the bar mitzvah later, and you're coming to celebrate the bar mitzvah, is it called the sudas mitzvah? Is it a sudas mitzvah? With all the different halachas of can an ovel, different leniencies for an ovel, what other examples of a sudas mitzvah? There are different examples. There, I don't remember offhand. There are different examples of why you'd want somebody to do a sudas mitzvah. And the answer is, if you need a tanai, if the bar mitzvah boy is doyresh hana, if the nar, the child is doyresh berabim, then it converts it converts it into a sudas mitzvah. If the nar, the child, is not doyresh, then it's not a sudas mitzvah. However, if you're making a party bo bayom, yod gimel shanim v'yoy mechad, even if the child is not doyresh, it's automatically called a sudas mitzvah. So that's the difference. So you have a bar mitzvah bo bayom, the child, the bar mitzvah boy, does not need to make a drasha, it's still called the sudas mitzvah. But if it's not bo bayom, the child, the bar mitzvah boy, must make a drasha in order to convert into a sudas mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is one of the exceptions, I think, right? Is that true?
At the
sudas mitzvah. You got to go to a siyum. A siyum, an avel can go to a siyum.
They can have a little opinion of ben, not a bris.
Piyamin Yingoru, Sudas Piyamin Aben?
The Suda is Mahatim.
So there are many, if you have a Sudas Mitzvah, once you convert something into a Sudas Mitzvah, you're getting into a situation where there are leniencies. There are different set of rules.
Piyamin Aben is a Sudas Mitzvah. You'll have to go, as opposed to a bris, you can go to the bris and not stay for the meal.
But a wedding, not.
The meal is not Mahatim to the bris.
A wedding you can't go to.
The Suda is Mahatim to the Piyamin Aben.
Yeah.
Halacha tes, im hayatz. Halacha tes, im hayatz siras gishamim. Afilu b'medina seinu shagishamim tiridim, even in Hungary, where there's a lot of rain. There's a lot of rain, hungry, it's shum the ain it's veinum it's some kolkach and ira shanetsu kolkachat shiyi oilam bitsar. If already they're issuing warnings and telling everyone that you're not allowed to exactly. Ozai kishyardu hageshamim im yardu kolkach v'rabu al oritz shemalim aba abuos min hamotar. If there's so much rain where there are bubbles come upon the earth, v'holchem zelik razeh, and the bubbles greet one another, they're, whatever this means, in abundance, then tzrichim levorich alem, you have to make a bracha. What bracha do you make? Hatoy v'hametiv. You make the bracha hatoy v'hametiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us to Geshem. Here he says, I'm sorry, there's another bracha. Ma mevorich. Here's the bracha. Ma'am Mavarich, im ain loy sada, if you don't feel you say, Mother Manachin Lachasham, Lakinu, I'll call Tiba Tiba Shahi Rada Talanu. If you don't have part of the Muslims of the brachas, you don't have a feel you say of every Tiba, every drop of rain, Shahi Rada Talanu, the Ilu, Pinu, Mole Shua Kayam, if our mouths would be filled with song like the sea, Einanu, we would not be able to give you praise for what you have done. Basically, the Nusach of Nishmas Kol Chai that we say on Shabbos. Kemoshu Bebirchas Nishmas. Ad Vyadishu Vyamlichu Hashimcha Malkeinu Baruch Atah Hashem. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Rov Hahodoos Vesishbachos. Okay, so you actually say this bracha. Okay, this is the bracha now. You made a mistake. You make the bracha of Nishmas. That's what you should say when there is rain, there is an abundance of rain. Then if you have a feel of b'shutfes, you're a partner, then you make hatov hametiv. Why? It's good for you, tov umetiv. It's good for someone else. It's good for my partner. But let's say you don't have a feel partner, it's only yours. You have a wife and children, and it's going to be good for them as well. You make the shechiyanu, you don't make hatov hametiv. Period. Birchas Hatayv made Birchas Shachayanu Mavarich Afal Pishainu Roy Esagisham Elishu Shemesh Yodim Gisham. You don't have to see it. If you heard, you got a phone call that it rained, it's good enough. Aval Birchas Moidim, the Brach of the first Brach, when you don't have a field, and the Brach of Nishmas, Akol Tiba Tiba, that can only be said when you actually see the rain. Aval Birchas Moidim Shanachna Aino Imer Ella Mishu Hu Roy Esagisham. You have to actually see the rain.
We never
heard someone do that. So what's the answer? It seems like you have to be a resident of that country. That would be, I may be right.
No, because he's talking about Geshem that it affects the whole world.
I don't know. It doesn't. A different country.
It's
the Olam Bitzar.
Yeah, Eretz Yisrael's in Tzar. There's no rain. So if you.
But we're not living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in America.
But the soil.
Maybe right.
For agricultural reasons or just rain in general.
Agricultural reasons. If you live in the desert and you don't need the rain, then that's not the issue. The issue is where you need the rain. At Siras Kesham, because you need the rain. If it's at Siras Kesham and you're living, I don't know, in Saudi Arabia, where it never rains. Does it rain in Saudi Arabia? So then, it's not the issue. Okay, now let's just do one halacha, just a little hakdama to the next halacha. Hilchos Masu Matzo. We're breaking away now from Orach Chaim. Okay, amazing. We've learned a lot of Orach Chaim. Now we're breaking away into new waters, into Chosh and Mishpat. Tzarech Lizoher, that's the beauty of Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Tzdalet Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. A little bit of everything. Tzarech Lizoher Me'oid Shelo Lehonos Es Chaveiro. You have to be very careful not to cause harm to your friend. V'chol Ma'an Es Chaveiro Bein Shehamoicher Ma'an Es Halakech. Whether the seller takes advantage of the buyer, the buyer takes advantage of the seller. Over belav shenemar, if you sell or you purchase, al tonu ish esachiv, do not wrongdo one man his fellow. The he hasheelo harishoina, scary stuff. The first question that they're going to ask man when he comes to the heavenly tribunal, v'hi hasheilo harishoyne sheshonas adam b'shosh shemachnisin oso ledin nosata v'nosata be'emuna. So it means to carry and to give. To carry means to take away. Did you purchase and did you sell? Be'emun in faith. Notice the order, nosata means to purchase. The Pasuk says, interesting, the Pasuk is the other way around. So I have Jush on this. The Pasuk says the other way around. If you sell, right? I'm the seller. And this guy, oh, he's a tam. Guy comes to me and he asks, how much does it cost? I can get away with it. I can sell this to him for $1,000 and really selling with $5. No, watch out. Hashem is watching. And then it says, I purchase. I realize what I'm purchasing over here was worth $1,000,000 and I'm going to buy it for $5. I'm going to rip them off. I'm going to buy it. They're not going to do that either. So the order is sell, buy. But yeah, when it comes to Shemayim, they ask it to you the other way around. Nosata, Nosata Bemuna. It means to carry and to give. Carry simply means to take away when you buy. When you buy, you carry it away. When you give, you're selling, you're taking away money. Bemuna. Okay, the order was reversed. I don't remember the reason why it's reversed. Okay, that is one halacha. Let's look at that Shem Shem halacha on the bottom. Just one little hagdama. Shleilohone says Chaver Ayin Beshalshus Chasam Sefer. Bedavar. Bedvar Hayayin. Shlachuta Rak Behefsid Mu the Mutadafko Lubal Din.
What's going on? Looks like it's in the wrong
place. Oh, but fooling people. It
must be
Hamas
Devarim.
That's on
Ohenes Chaveri.
What's that?
It's the same question you have in a restaurant. There's a, you have a shaylan, Wamata El Stefsit Meruba. But it's in, it says you're a glatt restaurant. So are you allowed to serve the customer
something which is only lechatchila? So let's see, one more time. Bedvar hayayin shalohuta rak behefsid. You have yayin, you have wine, and you have a certain type of wine which is only mutar behefsid meruba. The mutar dafkul about the only one that's allowed to drink the wine is the owner of the wine, but you're not allowed to sell it to a customer that's not aware, that is not aware of the situation. The mutar dafkul lebal hayayin, but ulbnei beso, and if his family also they can drink it, they want to be mekel, they can drink it. Aval acherim, your customers, lama yiknu mimenu lechatchila. It's not right to sell to the customers wine which is not lechatchila, which is only with behefsid meruba. The kar vaday shemuchuiv lo yedim. It's a certainty that you must inform them. I have today wine. The wine is not so kosher. Would you like to buy it? I'm giving it at a discount. I'm giving it at a discount. Instead of $50, only $49. And the yain is only mutim, the hefsid meruba. You want to drink such wine, you must inform them. The problem with the yain. Let's say you don't tell them. Let's say there's a chumer. It's not a chumer in halacha, but it's not a halacha. Ein halokech yochol litoin ani roitzel lahachmir v'chayv l'shalem. Then the lokech cannot say, I want to be machmir. and the chayav l'sham, let's say it's too late, you already took his money, you want a refund, and then you find out that there's a shayla. But the shayla is not an ikar hadin. The problem is just a very far-fledged chumrah. So then in such, when it's a far-fledged chumrah, then you don't have to be machmed, the one who wins the din Torah is the seller, not the buyer. The ha'goy ma'asham is sifra das Torah v'gili das, herich v'zed, Swami this elaborates, v'hel al pi ha'prim ugodim, hanal du ha'din imutu behefsin meruba chayav l'shalim, aval lo yehevi yisham dirvei chasam sefer. He also says exactly the same thing. You have to pay that if a person, you sell a person a product, and the product is only mutter b'di'evet. It's only because it's a hefsin meruba, the product is mutter, you must inform the buyer. If you don't inform the buyer is entitled to say mekachtos, I want my money back, and the buyer wins. I'll give you two examples of this, two different examples. I mentioned this to you before with the matzah. The matzah, how many minutes do you wait for matzah until it becomes chametz? So we Ashkenazim wait 18 minutes. Everyone knows 18 minute matzah. Why? Because it says in the Gemara, mil. How long does it take to walk a mil? It doesn't say that's what the Gemara talks about. It talks about one mil. So we assume a mil is 18 minutes. So we're machmer. Then once you start baking matzos, the clock is ticking. After 18 minutes, they stop the press. However, there are many places that are makel, and they say that you can wait 20 minutes, 22 minutes, even 24 minutes for a mil. So in a matzah baking factory, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes makes a big, big difference. Especially when you get into the momentum, once you start kneading the dough, and you get into the momentum and you have the ovens burning and all of the people working, there's an enormous amount of matzah you can make in 6 more minutes. So Lubavitch, Chabad, they lechatchila hold that a mil is, I think, 24 minutes, maybe even 26 minutes. Even 26 minutes, maybe. Lechatchila. So you have a factory. This is a true story. Maisha Haya, I think in Lakewood. If I'm not mistaken, Maisha is a factory. So that's what they do. They start, they go, they do 26-minute shifts. And the mafresh, they separate the matz that was made the first 18 minutes and the matz that was made the last 6 minutes. So the matz that made the first 18 minutes goes to the Litvaks. And the matz that was made the last 16 minutes goes to Chabad. Because then lechatchila hold, there's no problem whatsoever. What happened in the factory? There was a mix-up. And they shipped out to the Litvaks matzah that was made from 18 to 20 to 26 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So this was
the problem is worse. Because the matzahs that come out after the 24-minute matzahs,
yeah,
according to the people who have 18, it's chametz.
Right.
So your whole bakery has to be cleaned for chametz.
It's not chametz. First of all, even if it is chametz, they clean everything. Everything is completely. The factory.
You're putting in a 26-minute matzah into the oven.
It does. Even if it is chametz.
Piece of bread into the oven.
Even if it is chametz, that's not an issue because the factory say they clean out everything from
the oven. You put in a piece of bread in the oven.
Doesn't matter. It's fine. The oven is so hot, everything is burnt out. Even the oven is not a problem because the oven is an open oven and everything in the oven is obliterated. The heat of the oven is so intense.
Yudel brought up this problem. He complains about the ovens too.
Ovens too. Who brings up the problem? Who?
Yudel. Who's? Shame.
Okay, but they don't complain about it. I never heard of that. So there was a scandal that I think 2 years ago where they sent out a shipment to the Litvaks. They sent out the 24-minute, they sent out, and it was it went through the entire, and the shayla is, the people, the megachtos, it really borders on the shayla. Even a Litvak that holds 18 minutes, the chatchila, you have to be the evet, the shasatchak. 26 minutes, 24 minutes, whatever you want to do, is also okay. It's not the end of the world. So, what's the halacha? Are the people who want the 18 are entitled to say by us it's an ikar hadin, it's a mekachtos? And let's say they take the matzah, they make matzah meal, who knows, and they have other issues. They're kalim now to be kasha because of matzah meal problems. Mm-hmm. How far does it go? I remember correctly, the buyers won the din Torah. The buyers were able to say it's a mekachtos, you blew it, and this is a serious violation of law. After 18 minutes, you were not careful, and we want our money back. And any other expense that go along, shipping, handling, and any other inconvenience, they won the din Torah. Because 18. Now, I'll give you another interesting example. Someone told me the shayla, Sofer in Eretz Yisrael, they write Sefer Torah. Mikra, you only have to go to mikvah. You only have to go to mikvah when you write Hashem's name. And that's how it was probably done traditionally for hundreds of years, because men did not have mikvos available to them like today. Today, Baruch Hashem, mikvos are pretty good. They're pretty clean. It's pretty good. In Eretz Yisrael, they have a lot of mikvahs, every dime a dozen. So today, soifrim, it's just become the custom. It's an unwritten law, which is a chumrah, which is not, they don't write all together unless they go to mikvah. Every sofer today would not take upon himself to go and write an ois in the Sefer Torah. Forget about a shame. Just even to write an ois in the Sefer Torah, you wouldn't do it unless you go. That's the way it's become today in Eretz Yisrael. So my Shahar, you know, if you write Hashem's name without going, you're finished. That already, you're in big trouble. That's already not kosher. You have to already put in Geniza, that urea, or have it removed, whatever, that's a problem. But stop to write a pasuk. Okay, so my Shahar, a sofer, he woke up in the morning and he just forgot to go to mikvah. He forgot to go to mikvah and he wrote. He didn't write any shameless, but he wrote a whole section. And he went to, I don't know who the posuk was, he went to one of the posuk and he said, you know, I wrote whatever, 20 lines, 20 lines, what's the halacha? So he said that the halacha, the Sefer Torah is 100% kosher, no doubt about it, but you mechuyev, you should be modia, the buyer. That when you come to sell the Sefer Torah for you, let's say a lot of the Sefer Torah, they're people are not going to write Sefer Torah unless they already have a buyer in advance. They have a line. Yeah, you should be modia, the buyer, the person who commissioned you to write the Sefer Torah, and ask him, because the standards today are such, this is what is expected. Is it halacha? No. It's not halacha. It's kosher. But that's the way people are paying $50,000, and this is what the Olam does. They want tahara, whatever it's worth. It's worth, okay. Well, you don't have to go to me. Whatever it's worth, it's worth. Zehu. So you see, so this was a shaila, and he had an idea. And it's very interesting because it's always bothered me when you come to a Sim Sefer Torah. It's really sad. I always find it to be such a sad story. What happens? They outline the letters, and then they tell everyone. Everyone come write the letters, and they also. Oh, no one's going to be able. I heard this. My signature. No one's going to write. Only the sofer is going to write. Only, and if you want to write, you're going to hold the sofer's hand. You come, you sit down, and you make. You are my shaliach, and the sofer, he puts in the ink, and the eye fills in. But we're not going to let any. Yeah. Any person over there dare take the pen and start patching the Sefer Torah. So it always becomes, at the end, there's always pressure, enormous pressure builds up, and they give in, and they start letting people put ink in the Sefer Torah. And many times those people who put in the ink, they didn't go to mikvah. So it's very sad. Here you have a whole Sefer Torah. Now you have 300,000 letters, 304,000 letters, they're all written with Tahara. Whatever it's worth, whatever that means, the person went to mikvah. And then the last couple of letters, you have to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come and put his D.I. into the Sefer Torah. It's not right. It's not right. Besides, sometimes they ruin it. They mamish pashkan, the smudges. Oh, they butcher it up. The last few lines are butchered up. So it is indeed very simple. But the Shaila mamish touches upon this issue we have over here. Wow, it's so late. Let's stop over here.